May we be helped to commence this morning's worship by singing together hymn number 7. Hymn number 7 to the tune Hensbury number 161. God shall alone the refuge be and comfort of my mind. Too wise to be mistaken he, too good to be unkind. In all his holy sovereign will, he is I daily find. Too wise to be mistaken still, too good to be unkind. Hymn number 7 to the tune Hensbury, 161. Let us read together from God's holy word, from the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs, chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for a day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. For the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favour is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboureth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbour, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in a way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. May we be helped to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, do please help us to come rightly in and through that precious way which thou hast made unto Almighty God. May we be led by thy Holy Spirit, be found asking those things that are in accordance with thy holy will. Oh, may our prayers be indicted prayers given us from above. Oh, that we might be found walking tenderly, humbly with our God. Dear Lord, thou knowest those many proverbs that we have read. How we have to thank thee, dear Lord, that the whole disposing of all things in our life are of the Lord. How we think upon that word, he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. And it is, dear Lord, this leading by thy Holy Spirit that we pray for in each case, dear Lord. The heart of man deviseth his way, Ah, dear Lord, but the word does not stop there. It's a law that directeth his steps. And again, we have to bless thee for it. And so, Lord, may the old man be put down and kept down. And may the new man of grace reign, Lord. May the younger serve the elder. And so, Lord, may we be made willing to be conformed in thy image, to be found walking in thy ways. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? May it be under thy divine direction. And may we truly be kept from ourselves. Thou knowest, dear Lord, ourselves are the biggest stumbling block. Please keep us from ourselves. And may our eyes be fixed on thee. Lord, please grant us this day food for our souls, our never dying souls. Oh, what is this wilderness to me? Lord, thou hast so clearly left on record for us how the Israelites had to journey through the waste howling wilderness until they were brought into the promised land. And oh, may we be helped to keep the things of this life in their right place. And may we walk that Christian pathway, earnestly seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, the little ones here, grant them in their early years the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, we read. Oh, dear Lord, we read also thy word that is good for man to bear the yoke in his youth. Lord, we pray that each of these little ones, and dear Lord, may we venture to add each little one yet to be brought into thy house. Lord, may they be yoked unto thee. And we would not stop there, Lord. For, Lord, we each need to be made as a little child, and each yoked unto thee. And so, Lord, may we, as a little corner of thy vineyard, be made fruitful, Lord, to thine honour and glory. Lord, it is only thee that can do us any good. We pray for thy presence here this day. We pray for thy leading. We pray that thy word might be applied by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, captivate our hearts, we pray. May the world and all the things of this world be shut out of the door. And may we be shut in with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, grant us a God-given religion, God-given exercises, God-given prayers, a God-given faith, that looking unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh dear Lord, may it be so, we pray. May none of us be left to have a faith of this flesh, which is no faith. Lord, may we only have a real God-given religion, we pray. Bring all else to naught. And so we ask for Thy help this day. Thy help in this morning service. Thy help, Lord, this evening also. Do bring Thy servant up with Thy word, we pray. Help him to preach it faithfully. Give us the ear to hear and the heart to receive. Lord, cause Thy word to enter in and to take root, and in due time to spring up and bear that fruit to Thine honour and glory, Lord. Oh dear Lord, we plead these great blessings. And then, dear Lord, Thou knowest our land, how, Lord, it has forsaken Thee. Lord, Thou knowest the wrong laws, those things which are not only dishonouring, but which are an abomination unto Thee, Lord. We are a guilty land. We plead for mercy. We plead, dear Lord, that Thou wouldest spare us, Lord. We think of that which we have read. The wrath of a king is as a messenger of death, but a wise man pacifieth the king. Lord, grant that we might be made wise, and please have mercy that this guilty land might be spared. And Lord, Thou hast seen fit to now, Lord, set over us one to be crowned king. Lord, we cast no stones, but Thou knowest. Lord, the walk of that one and the queen consort is not upright in Thy sight. And we mourn, Lord, where we have come to. We plead with Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldest open the eyes of the king, that Thou wouldest cause that by Thy light they might see light. Dear Lord, that there might be a humble acknowledging, even as that one by the well who had to say, I have no husband. Ah, she had well spoken. And thou wast pleased to work in her. And so thou canst, dear Lord, work. We are all sinners in thy sight. And we have to say, why me? O gracious God, why me? Why was I made to hear thy voice? And enter whilst there's room, whilst thousands make a wretched choice, and rather starve than come. Oh, dear Lord, turn us again. We shall be turned, for if thy hand works, Lord, then the work will not be in vain. We fear what we might be brought through to come to that place, to bow before thy feet. But, O Lord, in wrath remember mercy. And then, dear Lord, as we think beyond our shores, Lord, the troubles that abound in various parts of the world, Lord. Thou knowest particularly our mind goes to Ukraine. Lord, as they suffer under the hands of an evil aggressor. Lord, we do pray in that desire that thy name might be glorified, that it might do souls good, dear Lord, that it might turn hearts heavenward in prayer, they might prove what a prayer hearing and answering God thou art, and that there might be souls saved, even through much tribulation. But, oh dear Lord, if it could please thee, do overturn, Lord, the aggressor. Lord, and he is but a man also, with an ever dying soul. Lord, Manasseh caused the blood to run down the streets, and yet thou didst have a favour toward him. Who are we, Lord? God himself is a judge. Selah. Lord, could it please thee to even turn his heart heavenward? Then there will be a lasting peace. Oh, dear Lord, thou canst do these things. Man cannot see a way, but thou art able. My God is able. Oh, may we plead it. So, Lord, please help us to lay all these things at thy feet and trust in a wise and gracious God, as we have sung, too wise to err, too good to be unkind. And then, dear Lord, thou knowest us each personally. Thine eyes seest us from the inside. And thou knowest us, thou knowest all our circumstances, all our pathway. Thou canst graciously direct us into those ways in which we will learn of thee, though they might be pathways not of our choosing. Oh, dear Lord, the pathways where, in due time we'll look back and bless thee for the way that thou hast led us. O work in each case, Lord. Be with our friends visiting from the Netherlands. Lord, may they be enabled to hear for their never dying soul's profit. Lord, may there be that unity in the things of God, and may we each be enabled to bow before thee and worship. So, Lord, we plead, manage all. Thou knowest one of our church and hospital. We plead for her, that thou hast undertaken and manage all, and bless her on the bed of affliction. Lord, do her soul good, we pray. Be with our brother Deacon as he preaches this day at Braeburn and then Gravesend in the Heathen. Lord, help him. Be mouth, matter and wisdom to him. Lord, may it please thee to get the honour and glory to thy precious name in the various chapels up and down the land. Lord, thou knowest where thy work is being carried on. Thou knowest where thy word is being faithfully preached. Oh, cause it to prosper, Lord. We do plead. And now, Lord, we commit all into thy hand and ask for thy presence with us now. As two or three gather together in thy name, may we prove our faithful God is present in the midst. We ask all for thy precious holy name's sake. Dear Lord Jesus, amen. The notices for the week are that, God willing, this evening Mr. Robert Field will preach, the service commencing at 6 o'clock. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Bernard Burgess is engaged to preach, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Cottenham will preach during the evening service, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will also be observed. And as helped, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting next Lord's Day and a red sermon during the morning service. Our monthly prayer meeting, which was due to take place on Friday evening, is deferred to the following Friday, the 12th of May. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 708 to the tune of Farningham 141. Hymn 708. As when a child, secure of harms, hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest, and while through many a painful path the travelling parent speeds, the fearless babe with passive faith lies still and still proceeds. hymn 708, tune Farningham, number 141. Our readers helped a sermon preached by Mr. J. Neville at Skeynes Hill in 1959. The text you will find in the chapter that we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 20. Proverbs 16, verse 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. This part of the Word of God may not seem so spiritual, in the sense of not conveying so much of the foundation truths of the Gospel as in other parts of the Word itself. But part of the inspired Word of God, as it is a manifestation of the wisdom and kindness of God in leaving for our instruction, for our guidance, many things which, if we have grace and are enabled to follow, we shall find them to be for our profit, I believe, even in the things of this life. And matters which relate just to circumstances. Many of the instructions in the book of Proverbs will be found useful and profitable if we follow them. And where the Lord has even in temporal things set the way before us and attached a promise to it, insofar as we may walk in that direction, we shall find that God is faithful to his word. Them that honour me, I will honour, saith the Lord. When he was reproving those who had dishonoured him by disobedience. But the main point that Solomon, who was made wise himself, wise unto salvation, as well as having natural wisdom of a particular kind and measure, Solomon was particularly concerned to set before those for whom he wrote this book, as the Spirit of God led and instructed him, the great blessing of the fear of the Lord. With those attendant graces, and the exercises of those graces which it would bring, you will find him again and again bringing things to this point. The fear of the Lord as the beginning of wisdom. The necessity of wisdom as the fountain of life. Oh, that there may be in the hearts of those who are young in years, that meet here and meet with us in other places, the fear of the Lord in their early days. How often I believe the exercised people of God, godly parents and ministers too, will pray for this, that the fear of the Lord might be implanted. No greater blessing can there be than that. Every other temporal blessing, rightly it may be in some respects to seek for them, will perish in the using, and has respect only to the life that now is. But if, through mercy, this life be in us, it will issue not only in the life that now is, but in the life which is to come, which is of so much more vital importance. May those young in years consider this, And may God in his mercy give them the fear of the Lord, so that they may walk in his ways. I believe when the fear of the Lord is in a person, it may be a young person, and this book, with its instructions as to how to walk and in what way we should walk when the fear of the Lord is in exercise, and this book is made profitable, then there may be some particular striking instance in their life when they will prove how the Word of God is a lamp unto their feet and a light to their path. And if you sometimes prove that, if you do, I believe it will give you a great appreciation in your heart of the Word of God. I feel for the most part we are not sufficiently thankful that we have the Word of God in our hands. We are accustomed to it. We have no fear of being persecuted for possessing the Scriptures. But alas, the ease with which we may use them may in some instances, and to some degree, make the Scriptures to be of less value as to feelings and experience of this. And in this we may need the Lord's merciful reproof, because his word, of causing his word to be more our guide, more our desire. We may have to mourn at times because we cannot enter into the expressions of the psalmist in the 119th psalm as much as we would. You find a good man there, filled with the mercy and goodness of God with his word. Oh, how I love it, he said. There may be some who have walked with him, but alas, it is not so at all times. Here then is a book of wisdom. The whole scripture is a book of wisdom and revelation of God's will, but particularly the Proverbs, as it was given through Solomon, who is made wise in such a high degree. And it is a book which is for our guidance and regulation of our life and deportment. Here is instruction and a promise attached to it. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. This has some fulfillment in natural things. Naturally, a person who handles matters wisely is likely to find good, rather than a man who is unwise and mishandles matters. But I would consider it particularly as it regards the people of God and the matters that are to be handled. The first matter that is worthy of our attention is the matter of salvation, of which it might be said the people of God are brought to handle it, and handle it wisely. To handle a matter is to have some concern about it, some respect for it, and to be led to do things concerning it. And the question which might rightly be asked here, do we handle this matter? Is the matter of our salvation a matter of concern and inquiry in our hearts? It is sadly and solemnly evident it is not a matter which many handle. How few think of their soul's eternal destiny, or have a concern as to where they will spend eternity. Have you really and truly thought about these things? Some do not handle the matter. It does not come into their thoughts at all. There may be, alas, some who may be said to handle the matter, but do not so wisely. Do not so under the gracious teaching of the Holy Spirit. There may be, and are, some who have some thoughts about salvation, some regard for the letter of the truth, sufficient to believe that God is, and that there is a hereafter, but some who think about salvation do not handle the matter wisely. Do not handle it according to the leading and guiding of the Spirit. We read of one young man in the Gospel who did not handle the matter wisely. There was a good measure of appreciation with him when he came running to the Lord and fell down and asked the question, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He did not handle the matter wisely. And the Lord answered him according to his question and spoke of the commandments. The unwise handling, the ignorant handling of the matter was evident in his answer, as he spoke of observing all these things. That was his self-righteousness, self-satisfaction, and doubtless on account of his supposed observance, he thought he would be accepted. When the Lord, in his absolute wisdom, put his finger upon the point, how that young man went away and did not handle it wisely. Neither do any answer it wisely if they think that by any of their endeavours they will gain the favour of God or be brought into an interest in salvation. But there is a handling of the matter wisely. And this is under the teaching of the Spirit of God in the soul. And those brought to a godly concern about it, they are brought to see where that salvation centres and from whose hand it must be received. They handle it wisely who are brought to seek a manifest interest in it. I believe the psalmist handled the matter wisely. He said, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." There is the case and the cry of one who is handling the matter wisely. He is brought to believe that he is a guilty sinner in and of himself, that there is salvation in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he seeks that he may be given a manifest interest in it. He does not merely assume that because he believes salvation is in Christ and in no other, that there is none other name given among men whereby we may be saved. Because he believes that truth, it is well with him. It is well to believe it. But to handle the matter wisely is to be seeking the Lord that he would give you an experience of his favour, and by a gracious warrant to believe you have an interest therein. Is this how you and I have been enabled to handle the matter? And to handle the matter wisely is to have an exercise of soul which will be continued all the days of our life. More or less daily, this matter of our salvation will be a matter for us to continually pray over, to handle. Not just in your early days you will handle it and have some gracious exercise concerning it and then leave it. It is a matter you will handle and be exercised about continually He that handleth the matter wisely, you exercise it rightly, as you are graciously enabled by the Spirit of truth, and seek a gracious experience of the promise. When you handle the matter wisely, your fears concerning it, your longings to be right, your fear of being wrong, and you take to the Lord his own word and tell him what he has said to the seeking soul. This is handling the matter wisely. I believe we shall feel it is not merely a question or feeling of our need, although this is how we are brought to seek. When there is a promise to give to the seeking soul, an opening to the knocker, an answer to the asking soul, we then find there is a warrant in the Word of God whereby we may go. Sometimes there is a particular word. As the psalmist said, remember the word upon which thou hast caused thy servant to hope. That is handling the matter wisely. Sometimes you'll get a glimpse of the workings of grace in a more general sense, not so much a particular word, but a general tenor of God's word to the gracious seeking soul. You handle the matter wisely when you feel it thus, under the doing of the Spirit, and a pleading for it, the word he has recorded for our encouragement. That is handling the matter wisely. But there are other things. And this may be a word to us when we come into certain difficulties and certain trying dispensations, which may be the sealing of the matter upon our heart at any given time. Any matter. A matter which is a matter of concern causes you anxiety. These are matters which are given us to handle. Your matters may be quite different matters to what another's may be at this particular time. But whatever the matter, whatever the particular thing, here is direction and the promise which is attached to it. He who handleth the matter wisely shall find good. What matters there are peculiar to each individual case, perhaps your business concerns, providential matters, matters which are, in a right sense, a weight, but spiritual matters will be first. But our circumstances should have a right weight with them and with us at all times, that we might handle matters wisely in the fear of the Lord. He that handleth a matter wisely. One thing in the handling of a matter wisely, without question, we shall be able to say, is to take it to the throne of grace. A mishandling of the matter is not seeking the Lord in the handling of it. And alas, we're not immune in this. If a child of God is left to handle a matter unwisely, we shall prove that the converse is as true in the matter as we have it here. He will not find good. Oh, for grace to handle matters wisely, seeking to bring it to the Lord, seeking for him to lead us, that he might constrain us in a right and good way to do that which is good and right in his sight. Handle a matter wisely is handling it prayerfully. I know it may be at times so difficult for us, because we have an opposite principle. I speak for my case, and perhaps for others too. The word says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. But how difficult it is sometimes. When we're not doing that, we're not handling the matter wisely. But by the Lord's mercy, we should be brought to do so. His Spirit will work in us and overcome that natural tendency to put things right. We may have some crooked matters. The Lord's people know what it is to have these. That is, to our apprehension, they are not crooked as to the purposes of God. But when we have crooked things, as one said, who can put straight that what God has made crooked? Who handles it? Some say, go to work this particular way, that will straighten it out. Well, perhaps we have tried to do that. And proved by the Lord's mercy, and I believe it is the Lord's mercy, that the Lord has then blown upon it and brought us to where we are brought down humbly to seek that he would deal with the matter and deal with us in the matter. That is to handle the matter wisely. Handle it at the throne of grace. Sometimes we may be confronted with a particular matter. There may be something you have in front of you. Something that you fear. How can you handle that? Oh, has it not been good to do sometimes as Hezekiah did with the blasphemous letter that he received? He spread it before the Lord. It is a good way of handling matters if we can really and truly lay it before the Lord. Some might say, that's easy enough. That's what the Lord's people always do. Is it always so easy? Is it always the first thing that you and I have done? Can we not say, through rich mercy and sovereign grace in the heart, we've sometimes known what it is to handle matters in this way, wisely? Perhaps if under reproach, and perhaps sometimes unjust reproach it may be, nature would say, you must justify yourself in that. You must put it right. But the word of God says, commit thy way unto the Lord. But seek that the Lord would manage the matter for you. Preserve you from trying to put the matter right by seeking your own self-justification. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. The promise is here. If you are brought to seek salvation and an interest in the person and work of Christ made known in your heart by the Spirit, if you are brought to say from the heart, give me Christ or else I die, and so handle the most important matter wisely, it will be true of you. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. You will find, in your experience, according to his own purpose, and his time and way, that which you are seeking. There is no seeking after salvation like this, humbly acknowledging one's own unworthiness and deep sense of need, longing to know what that salvation is, seeking an interest in it. No such seeking soul will be disappointed. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and the good that he shall find is a token of the Lord's goodness and mercy manifest in their heart and in their experience. Can we not say, in our measure, that the Lord has, in measure, fulfilled his word in our experience? Have not some found good in that they have been favoured with some manifestation of the Lord in their heart? I believe, too, there is a finding good in the exercise of it. In all labour there is profit, and while there may be those delays, and for a time the finding of good may not seem to come to pass, yet in the handling of the matter wisely, in the seeking of the Lord, in the gracious exercise of heart before him, I believe there is good. Perhaps it may not be to the comfort of the soul as he would desire it, but in the very exercise of the heart there is good. In all labour there is profit. But here is a word that speaks with gracious encouragement and promise. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Perhaps some soul may say, the good I have sought for, so far, I have not obtained. That does not alter the truth of this word. The difficulty will be because you find so much questioning concerning this. The enemy will beset you with evil questioning. One who is content with these things in the head, the devil will leave alone, I believe. But where there is true seeking, there is a suggestion that good that you seek, you will never obtain. That is unbelief. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. He that waits upon the Lord should never be ashamed. They should not be ashamed that wait for me. But this matter is delayed. The Lord does not appear. Well, are there not times when the Lord tries his people's faith and patience to a point which seems almost to the end of their patience? But it is his own good time that he has appeared. The prophet speaks of a vision being for an appointed time, and says this: if the vision tarry, wait for it. In the end, it shall come. It shall not tarry. And the scripture cannot be a contradiction. It may tarry beyond our expectation. The Lord said, your time is always ready, but my time is not yet. At the end, it shall speak and not lie. The Lord says, shall. No peradventure, no perhaps, no. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. So, to wisely handle the matters that come into your particular path is as the Lord may give us grace to handle them in a prayerful seeking of his will. There is a word in the 134th Psalm. I believe I can say in my little measure, it seems to follow me again and again in particular things at times. It is, teach me to do thy will. He that handles matters in that spirit, the Lord graciously working that in his heart, shall find good. He has found good already. The good is the Spirit's merciful teaching. And insofar as we rise above our natural tendency to do things for ourselves and to set up our own path and way, insofar as we are helped above it and have found good. If you fully seek the Lord's mind and will in regard to a particular thing, that the Lord's will may be done, you have found good. And there is more good to come. You will find that the answer and approbation of the Lord is on it in time. Some have felt that they have had the Lord's promise in their way. It may be after much tossing and turmoil. To come there is to find good, to find His grace overruling, and His goodness and mercy with you. Some of the Lord's people have been sweetly favoured to find this. Hannah handled matters wisely when she laid her bitterness and grief before the Lord. Did she not find good? Did the Lord not answer her petition? And she acknowledged it in the Lord's house. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. Another thought in this connection, there is a verse in this chapter which says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." It suggests to me that we usually, and I speak for myself chiefly here, we are disposed to want to see all the path, as it were, nicely laid out before us in some things. I well remember when this verse was instructive in my heart, when things were not easy. That was my disposition, to want to see all things in advance. But that is not the Lord's way. The Lord directeth his steps, step by step, as with a journey. And so it is as if the Lord opens up, as he has done in some things, opens up step by step. This is finding good. It spells despondence, it spells waiting upon the Lord, it spells a realization of not being our own. All this is good. If you find in your experience some inward realization in this way, that you're not your own, therefore the Lord will not have you walk as if you were your own, that is to find good. He that wants to manage for himself, without grace, subdues that principle. It is a principle within us. But he that is left to do that will not find good. But he that handleth a matter wisely shall find. The Lord will cause the things which appeared to work contrary to our reason, and wherein we have almost at times despaired of finding good, shall find those things have been so ordered as to work together for our good. Work together. Perhaps there may be some things in which you have looked or may be now looking, the Lord knows, but those things seem to be so awry. But when in the issue the Lord manifests how this, that and the other thing have been all directed by him to work together. Working separately, they may be difficult, perplexing and hard, but it is when the Lord calls them to work together. There was a prophet who was in deep need. The Lord's mercy to him had dried up. There was a widow in her need. Now, to the prophet and to the widow, those things did not appear to be working that they might find good in them. But when the Lord manifested his purposes, so it may be in some little measure in your life. There does not seem to be a finding good, but it is the path the Lord will lead his people in so that they have the benefit and he has the glory. They will find good in providence. The Lord causes that we may have grace to depend and grace to confess our lack of strength to provide that we do need. May we wait upon him still. Find good in our souls. Find Christ to be the chief good. Good in our providences, in his merciful dealings and leadings in matters concerning us. May he add his blessing for his name's sake. Amen. Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 289, hymn 289, to the tune Jonathan 356. Hymn 289. Thus far, my God has led me on, and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears alternate rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Hymn 289, tune Jonathan, 356. Dear Lord Jesus, do please grant to each one that faith and that grace, Lord, to handle matters wisely, not by ourselves, dear Lord, but in humble dependence upon our God. And we would, Lord, come with that prayer to be found in the psalm, but do thou for me, O God the Lord. Do thou all things, dear Lord, manage all, manage us, and lead us forth by that right way, that we might go to a city of habitation, to be forever, forever with our God, forever with our Lord, in heaven above. Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.